The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Pro football full circle. Mike Carver, Scott Wetzel, Joe Lisi, right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Hour number two here today as I jump in and join the boys. Hey, guys, how's it going? Joe, you sound like you're having a good day.
I'm amped up, Carver, every day. This is it, the intensity level as we get closer to the Super Bowl. I kick it up a notch, all right?
Scott, was he all right in the first hour? Everything was good with Joe? He was okay?
We need to keep this a family show. We need to have Joe go out on a date, we'll say, this Saturday, if you know what
Joe,
I mean. We need to kind of release some tension here from Joe. He's a little too antsy.
He's got to work the apps a little harder here over the next couple days. Joe's got to get in the mix, get something going for Saturday night. That's for sure. So we get going
down
here.
On your Lucille Roberts, subscription.
Lucille Roberts,
get some extended hours at the gym there, Joe.
Yeah, Richard Simmons. While we're at it, Scott, show your age. Come on, it's a young show, young millennial. Think new age. Come on now.
I don't have new age. Yeah, listen, I still got a flip phone, for goodness sakes.
So we get going with hour number two. We'll talk about Sunday's games, 3 o'clock Eastern, the Rams and the Bucks down at Raymond James, and then the late game, 6:30 p.m. Eastern at Arrowhead between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, where actually, guys, this morning we saw a little bit of line movement on the Bills and the Chiefs. In fact, down to 1.5. Kansas City favored. How about that as we sit on a Wednesday getting a little point move already in the Bills and the Chiefs?
Interesting. Interesting. I said it before. I think it's a mismatch problem for Kansas City. I really do. The way they abused them in that Monday night game earlier in the year, 38-20, I think it's status quo. I don't know if Kansas City can spy Josh Allen. I know their defense is playing well. They haven't played a mobile quarterback down the stretch. Dak Prescott was not the same quarterback prior to the injury in terms of his mobility. I don't count that. I look for Josh Allen to break out in a big way, Carver, and I'm sticking to it. I love Buffalo. I love them plus the 108, and I wouldn't be shocked if they do win this ballgame again by 10 to 13 points.
I would be shocked. I would be shocked. And I'm surprised. You know, I tell you, this is no joke. I rarely do I put in games before the day, especially now with COVID, right? So, but I did love Kansas City. I didn't want to wait. Didn't want to take the chance that it goes up to 3. Then I'd be kicking myself, saying, I knew it. And I love Green Bay, and I figured Green Bay line was going to go up. So I make a long story short, I put it in the reverse last night, Green Bay and Kansas City. I swear, not two seconds after I clicked, put in, and then I went back to the line. The Chiefs line went from 2.5 to 2. And now I'm looking at 1.5. The Wetzel Black Clouds in effect. It'll be picking my game time, and I'll be holding out to -1.5. And they'll win by 1 or 2.
Amazing. The Black Cloud followed you on that one. As soon as you clicked, and that's happened to, I know, me and Joe a couple times doing the college this year. Like, we'll go and we like something, and sure enough, you go to hit it, and you know, an hour later, suddenly the line's, you know, not in your favor anymore. It moves a little bit. So the Black Cloud follows Scotty here this morning, down to 1.5, the Chiefs and the Bills for the late game on Sunday. Rams and Bucks still sitting at 3 as we sit midweek. Today we can jump in. You know, Joe, they did put some of the props up, Joe, already for some of these games. And I mean, not just the touchdown ones, the passing, receiving props. They're starting to slowly put these up. So we can dive into these today as well as we get a little bit closer to Sunday here. And I like that they're finally doing this. Like, during the regular season, it's always 24 hours before. But at least in the playoffs, they're trying to get you these up a couple days in advance that you can actually work on them a little bit.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I mean, the prop market, especially if you utilize them in terms of the same game parlays, and FanDuel does do a fantastic job with that, you can pick off value, right? And you can potentially have a really good payday in terms of how you match them up. It's not just one game. FanDuel does give you the ability to do multiple games. So if you wanted to do, let's just say, the Buffalo Bill game and then the other game in terms of the NFC, you can do that and still potentially hit a 6 or an 8 leg parlay utilizing the touchdown props, the rushing props, and that's what it's all about. I think, you know, obviously there's no clear-cut injuries for both teams, so they're going to get them up a lot sooner than maybe in some of the other games this coming weekend.
They must feel that, like, the most, because it's weird, because when you look at the four games up there now, the Rams and the Bucks, they must just be working on these today, because they've got the passing and the receiving up for the Rams and the Bucks, but they don't have it for the other games. So maybe that's the first game they're working on, trying to get everything up, a lot of juice with Brady, etc. I'm guessing that's why they're probably putting the Ram Buck ones up first, Scott, I would think, because Brady brings so much action to the table.
I would guess, yeah, because you think that would be in the reverse since that was Sunday versus the Saturday games. So, but Saturday ones were up there as well, except for the Derrick Henry, the Tennessee rushing props. So normally these things aren't really posted until game day or maybe the night before, some of these individual numbers. So I guess, you know, FanDuel realized that they got, you know, the action's out there. People want to spend their money, especially after this past weekend. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, a number of props that we can go over here before we're done today.
Yeah, I think that some of them are by state also. It depends. Because, like, I have the
Might be. I have the
New York open in my app, Scott, and I have the Jersey page open on my computer. Because I haven't gotten them to figure out yet that, because I still want to see the Jersey Lions, because they offer so much more stuff in terms of props, etc.
Yeah, right.
So it's weird how they do that sometimes. All right, Pro Football Full Circle. We're just getting going here now. We're number two. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We keep rolling after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, and we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Good to have you with us. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel here with you as we are talking about Sunday's games. So let's get into it here as they start to slowly put some of these props up for the Bucks and the Rams, the early game on Sunday. And I just saw Arians because I'm looking. Today's usually the day, guys, that everybody talks because it's Wednesday. And like yesterday, everybody talked because of the Saturday game. They were a day ahead. And I saw Arians this morning. They slapped him $50,000 for hitting that guy on the helmet on the sideline. I thought that people would make a bigger deal out of that. Scotty, did you saw what you know what I'm talking about, where Arians whacked the guy on the helmet on the sideline. And in today's day and age, as we like to say, I thought that that would get a lot more juice and people would be a lot more upset. But he really heard nothing about it, and then this morning they hit him with $50,000, and he's all upset. He says he's going to appeal it, and he's not paying it, and all this stuff.
Hey, listen, he's lucky. It cost the Washington guy his job, right? I mean, literally. So, and that was by accident, really, where this was a planned attack. You know, this was him hitting the guy over the head because he planned to hit him in the head, whereas the guy in Washington Joe or Washington State? Washington, right? I know
Washington. It was Jimmy Lake.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lake,
right, exactly. You know, so he's trying to separate Lake, right, from getting into a scrum, and he just kind of accidentally hits him in the head with his clipboard. Meanwhile, there's Arians. Hey, this guy's got more issues, right? He's back. battling cancer left and right. A little overweight, too, there, Bruce. But whatever, you know, but he's got more issues. And meanwhile, he's got to get into a fight with one of his own players, for goodness sake. What are you doing? He's lucky the guy didn't turn around and swap him one, right? I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine a fight on the Tampa Bay sidelines between the head coach and one of the players? Oh, my goodness. What are you getting so excited about, Bruce? Take it easy, brother. You were leading by 3 touchdowns at the time. I mean, my goodness. He's lucky he didn't get suspended. I mean, something crazy could have happened. So
I'm really stunned in today's day and age that he wasn't, that wasn't made a bigger deal out of. I really am. Because, like you said, Jimmy Lake, I mean, he got ran out of town up there in Washington for something, you know, you want to say similar, worse, whatever. But, Joe, you just call that blue-collar football. You don't mind with the little tap on the helmet for the coach to the player, right? You don't mind that, Joe.
I can't get involved in this discussion. I mean, please. It also matters
you
who you are.
You bench at him as well, right?
I told Carver this many times, that if I was a football coach or I'm talking to a team, the first thing I'm doing is give me a helmet, I'm throwing it across the locker room, and I'm telling those guys, wake your ass up. So I would never be a head coach in terms of today's game. I would bang things. I mean, at the end of the day, the way some of these guys just walk through the motions for getting paid millions is ridiculous. But that aside, it depends on who you are. I mean, Jimmy Lake was basically a nobody at Washington. When you're a Super Bowl winning coach with Tom Brady at the helm, it's overlooked. And, you know, obviously the league did find him.
I'll ask this, though. If he was able to put up with Antonio Brown for as long as he has been able to, and obviously not anymore, I mean, how is it that he couldn't, like, deal with one guy who's trying to get into a little bit of a scrum and then trying to recover a fumble? You know, I mean, if he went that berserk on this poor guy who's just trying to help out, how in the world did Bruce Arians put up with AB as long as he did?
Well, because it's game environment. When you're on the sidelines and the game is going on, you're really, let's be honest, it's a reactionary sport. You're not thinking every single time. It's an impulse. When you see something happening and you're fiery and you're emotional, right? You're not the quarterback that's sitting back and just looking at everything. He's coaching. He wants to win. I sort of like Bruce Arians. I didn't like him originally when he was at Arizona. I sort of like him with Tampa Bay because it's his way or no way. And even though he's backtracked a little bit, at least he matters in terms of a head coach figure. Some of these guys, the way they walk over him is absolutely ridiculous. They need a knock on the head, some of them.
I knew Joe would have.
This reminds me, you know, I've told this story, but this reminds me when my dad used to coach high school at Paul the Sixth in New Jersey, right? They could be leading, and I was like 3 or 4 at the time. They could be leading by like 30-0, I swear, right? And in the locker room, he'd be throwing clipboards. His big thing was breaking the clipboard over his knee, right? I'd come out, I would be like crying. I'm 3 or 4 years old. I think my father's gone berserk. My grandmother would be there, and she'd be like, don't go into the locker room anymore, Scott. You can't. So it is different. You know, it's a different world right now. And he's kind of old school, Bruce Arians. I don't doubt for a second he's probably breaking clipboards at halftime during a 30-0 blowout win. But that's kind of kooky to me.
Yes, it certainly was. So Bruce will have the Bucs at home on Sunday in the first game against the Rams. I'll give you the passing props first, since FanDuel does have those up. Brady, 286.5. Stafford, 279.5. Now, in the first meeting, if you want to put any credence into it, they both smashed this number. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Brady, 432 yards in the 34-24 loss. Stafford had 343. So there was a lot of throwing in that first game they played at SoFi earlier in the year.
I can't buy into both of these passing totals in this matchup. I think it's going to be more of a controlled type of game. I think both teams, if you're Tampa Bay and you're playing at home, they don't want to go all out here, because I think that Tom Brady does recognize he doesn't have all the weapons there. So I do feel that the running game will have an intricate part or a major part of this offense, as opposed to last week where, you know, they did get the running game going with obviously Keyshawn Vaughn and Giovanni Bernard, but then it was Brady where he completed like 10 of 13 on 2 back-to-back drives, hit Evans. I think it's going to be more controlled because they want to keep Matt Stafford and the offense on the sidelines. They know what they did wrong in the first game. Leonard Fournette in that first game, I think, had like 30 yards, guys. So at the end of the day, the Rams made them completely one-dimensional. And if you're the Rams, you definitely want to pound the rock with Akers and Michelle to not even give Brady an opportunity to put up points in this ballgame. So I'm going under for both of these guys.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go under on Brady just because he can get that by accident. Although he did go under this past week. Thank you very much, Philadelphia Eagles. And really, Arians calling off the dogs. But I do like the under Matthew Stafford. You know, 280 yards. It wouldn't make any sense for them to try and come out and throw the football, right? I mean, not after the success they had running the ball this past week and not after Matthew Stafford's played like a dog, basically, the last 3 weeks of the regular season. I mean, it would be weird for them to get into a shoot unless Tampa Bay just, you know, piles on the points. But without AB there and a couple of other guys being out, I don't think Fournette's playing. I don't think they're going to have that kind of offensive productivity. You know, I don't think this is going to be a higher scoring game. So I could buy into the under Stafford. I just can't ever buy into an under Tom Brady, though.
Yeah, Fournette had 8 yards in the first game. Now, they didn't run the ball at all in that game because they got down very quickly. Fournette had 4 carries for 8 yards. Jones had 5 carries for 11 yards. Brady was their leading rusher that day with 14 yards. So that tells you.
What was the prop on that?
Well, yeah. he's always at like 1.5. Brady usually doesn't get higher than 1.5 when it comes to his rushing props. Same thing with Stafford, and both of them actually went well beyond that this past weekend in their wild card game. So both those guys, I'm with Scott on this. Brady, I'm always taking the over. It's very rare that Brady in these type of games isn't the focal point. But one thing I'll say, Joe, that you're on, I don't think this is going to be the same type of game that it was in Los Angeles earlier this year. I think that you're going to see a little bit more of the defenses step to the forefront here. And the Buck defense is, everybody gives Brady the credit. The Buck defense is what was a big part of that run last year when they got into the playoffs. And they need to step up again here playing the Rams. And I think the Ram defense will have something to say against Brady. So that's kind of leans me to the under in this game as well. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as the first matchup, Joe.
No, not at all. And then to your point about Stafford, it was a control game basically for Arizona. Does Sean McVay want to put the ball game solely on Matt Stafford on the road in this environment, knowing that he's got a 7-time Super Bowl winner on the other side? That's the main concern I have with backing Stafford over in this ball game.
All right, Pro Football Full Circle, right here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel. We'll come back. Keep looking at more props for Sunday's games. NFL Division Round coming your way. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Good to have you with us. Carver, Wetzel, Lisi, cast of thousands. Andrew Torres taking care of business as well, doing a tremendous job. Talking Rams, Bucks first game on Sunday as the props slowly get put out into the market. We gave you the passing ones. I do have receiving ones for a few guys. Now, they don't have the rushing up yet on FanDuel. That's probably partially because of Leonard Fournette, I would have to think. Or they're just working on it today. But here's what I'll give you for the receiving, fellas. Cooper Kupp, 102.5. I think he was 103 the other night, right? I think it was 103 for
Kupp. Yes, 103.5.
Okay. So he went down a yard. He has been coming down the last few weeks. Now, Beckham, 45.5. Van Jefferson, 35.5. He got that with just one catch on Monday night, and thank God he did. I had him in a same-game parlay over 18.5, longest catch. Mike Evans, 70.5 for the Bucks, and Rob Gronkowski, 66.5 for the Bucks. So a lot of these secondary guys, they haven't put up there yet, but by Sunday, you know that they will.
Yeah, the secondary guys, Tyler Johnson, I missed out on him this past week. He was set at 32 and a half. He got 30. Scotty Miller, right? That was the one that killed everybody. They slayed the parlays on FanDuel with Scotty Miller.
Did they give you money back on that, Joe? Joe, did you?
I didn't have that one. You didn't play the McAfee one? No.
I think they gave people money back on that McAfee one because of Scotty Miller. I think they did.
Why? What was the deal with him? Because he didn't
play. They had a featured same game parlay that for each game that the McAfee show, they were promoting it on FanDuel. So it's right at the top of the app. When you turn it on, right, you know, play this parlay, and they put it in your bet slip. And everything hit on it except Scotty Miller missing by a half a yard. So I thought I saw yesterday that they had refunded some of those if you played it. But I have to double check that. I'm not 100% sure.
Loss is a loss, right? I'd be concerned, he did play, right? He made a big play on the special teams. I would be concerned with the injuries for Tampa Bay before I put any props in with them, you know? Yeah. And listen, even in the game itself, if they don't have Tristan Wirfs, the tackle, and Ryan Jensen, the center, is hurt as well, that's two huge losses for Tampa Bay. I mean, this team could be in a lot of trouble this weekend. Again, I don't think Fournette's playing. Obviously, AB's gone. So, and if they lose the two of the arguably their best offensive linemen, you know, they gave up four sacks to Philadelphia this past week. In the second half, Philadelphia defense actually picked things up quite a bit. This Bucs team could be in trouble. I wouldn't be doing too many props, especially rushing props. I think Tampa Bay will have to throw the football because, you know, offensive lineman, it's easier to pass block than it is to run block. If those two guys aren't playing, then they're not running the ball at all. And Brady will be throwing the football 50 times. All short passes, mind you, but he'll be throwing the ball a lot.
I agree with you, Scotty. I think that he's going to be – I like the secondary guys, especially the swing guys, the Gio Bernards maybe for Brady coming up. Because I do think the Rams are going to make life tough on him. I believe that their line – and their linebackers are going to go after them, especially if Wirfs isn't out there. And even the center, Jensen, was banged up. I know they made a big deal about him coming back in and finishing the game, but who knows how banged up he is. I don't expect much from the Buck running game. Maybe when they put up the Brady completions and attempts number, that could be one to look at for Tom Terrific once they get that up. And it is funny, these books, they all have the same ones up. It's almost like they copy each other, right? I mean, just think, like, FanDuel's got the passing and the receiving. I go on to DraftKings, they've got the same thing. They've got the same Ram guys for receiving, but they don't have any Buck guys. Then you go over to Caesars, same thing. They've got the Ram guys, they don't have the Buck guys. It's like they all follow each other's play, right, Scotty? That's how it always works.
They know because they don't want to get exposed because, you know, even if they thought, you know, I'll give you a line example, you know, the Tampa Bay is three. Even if they thought Tampa Bay should be pick'em, they're not going to do it because they'd have everybody in the world be betting the, you know, Tampa Bay a pick'em and bet, you know, the Rams plus three at another book and then they'd expose themselves. So I think they all kind of look at each other and see who's posting what for these props and we'll do the same thing because we don't want to, you know, have our numbers be way off everybody else's.
Have you guys played any of these kicker ones? I played a couple over the weekend.
They've got the
Ram guys up now. So Matt Gay, who's the Ram kicker, total field goals made 1.5 over plus 110 for over 1.5 field goals, and then total extra points made over 2.5 at plus 140. So that's three touchdowns for the Rams, provided that things don't get silly and you get involved in twos and teams missing extra points and things like that. But if it's a straight three touchdowns for the Rams, over 2.5 plus 140 for Matt Gay.
What's the Rams total, though, for their team total?
Right.
Might be easier to do that.
That's true. That could be easier to do that. Let me see if they have that up already. For
team,
the team total.
I'm looking at it. Oh, yeah. They got 23.5.
There you go.
So, I mean, they could theoretically get 21 and you'd still be a winner versus the team total, but I'd probably do team total 23.5 more than I would the other one.
You like the kicking props, Joe?
I don't mind the kicking props. The problem I have, though, is with this ball game with Sean McVay, he's a little, you know, he thinks he's too cute going up against Tom Brady. He could leave first touchdown. He could be going for,
two.
Oregon.
That's
and then all of a sudden, now we're playing on the 2 points for the rest of the game. That is the only thing I fear in this match. I'm knowing, like, let's say he does think he has a mismatch with Cooper Kupp or the running game. He's going to look to exploit that, especially with a lack of, let's say, a complete team with Tom Brady. So they're going to look to put the pressure on Brady all the time they score. So that is the only question that I have in terms of backing this, in terms of the kickers. I hate kickers anyway. I mean, if you're relying on a kicker, it's like at the end of the day, like I said it before, I can never be a coach. If a kicker missed a shot, whatever it is during the game, he has one job to do. If you cannot do that at the end of the day, you shank it, a missed extra point. I put him on the outside of the bus. Walk home. Like, you ever see the sidecar? Same thing. I hate kickers. I can't stand them. They're prima donnas. They can go down and tucker too with a showboating. Unbelievable. I can't stand them.
How about this? How about this? Jesus, don't hold back there, Joe. How about this? Tampa Bay has scored 30 or more points in 11 of their last 12. Check that. 12 of their last 13 home games. And they got a team total of 25.
Isn't that fishy? That's fishy, yeah. Then, to me. No?
Well, I mean, it makes sense when you consider their over-under and everything and those injuries on the offensive line. But I will, you know, it just points out how, you know, sometimes you get up a great stat, 12 out of 13, you automatically go over it. And, Joe, you say, you know, the line stinks, so I'm going to go under, right? That's what you're insinuating? Which I get.
I mean, 25 is just, 25 is just, I mean, is such an odd number, right? 25, you get 24, yeah. You lose. 27, really, you need to win the bet for the most part, right? So do we really believe that Tampa Bay is going to get up 27 and win the ball game in the same level? I just don't think. I think it's going to be an under for the game, and I think L.A. is going to win it. I think they're going to win it on the ground. I think Tampa Bay, I think they go under the 25-point total in this ball game.
So you think under the team total for Tampa, Joe? Do you think both teams? How low are you talking here? I know you think the game's going to go under. How low are you expecting this to go? I mean, Scotty was just saying that the Rams are what, 23.5? Tampa's 25.5. You think the Rams are under the 23.5 too with the win?
I think it's like 23-17. I think it's going to be an ugly, lower scoring game. I think it's going to resemble a little bit, not as low, but the game flow, I think it's going to resemble New Orleans and Tampa Bay that Sunday night where they shut out Tom Brady. Where, you know, I think the lack of playmakers outside of Evans is definitely going to be exposed in this ballgame. And to Scott's point, the hamstring injury with Fournette is going to be definitely evident in this matchup. If he's not 100%, we keep forgetting that last year's Super Bowl run, it was Leonard Fournette that took a bulk of the load off of Tom Brady. Up until the championship game, it was Fournette carrying the rock, having success on the ground without Wirfs there, let's say, and Jensen, the center, being banged up. That's a huge loss for the continuity on the offensive line. Are we buying into Keyshawn Vaughn and Gio Bernard to carry this team?
Listen, Vaughn might not even play, so who knows, right? But it's still Brady, though, Joe. I mean, you really think you're going to get a low-scoring game in the postseason with Tom Brady? Really? Well, I think could be playing offensive line. He's still going to get 20-plus points.
But we were saying that with New Orleans, too, Scotty, right? Yeah, think of it that way, with Taysom Hill at the helm. We were talking Taysom Hill and basically, all right, New Orleans had the type of linebackers, but you have Aaron Donald. You have a 1-2 punch with Cam Akers and Sony Michel right now that a lot of teams haven't been able to stop the offensive line. Look at the Minnesota Vikings when Sony Michel and that offense wore them down. They were running at will over the last month of the season. Do we really believe that Tampa Bay is going to shut down the offensive line, the front seven, of the L.A. Rams in this matchup? I don't feel confident in that.
I'm trying to go back and see, what were the scores of these games last year for the Bucs in the playoffs? I mean, they were all pretty high scoring in the playoffs once they got there.
Yeah, they got on a
full schedule. I'm trying to throw it up. Last week, obviously, they scored 31 points against the Eagles, and let's be fair, they laid down.
Right,
at the end, they could have scored a lot more if they wanted to. Let me just come on now here. technology the worst. Here we go. We got it. 31-23 against Washington. 30-20 against the Saints. 31-26 Green Bay. 31-9 the Chiefs. They scored 30 points in every single playoff game since Tom Brady's been there, this year and last year. Yeah. I don't know, Joe. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Scott Wetzel, Joe Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Good to have you with us. I will let you know, Joe, since you were concerned about it, the weather for Tampa on Sunday. Nice and breezy, 60 degrees, sun and clouds. Little 10 to 15 mile an hour winds, but seems like to me a very nice, fast track. Now, there'll be a lot of rain on Saturday in Tampa, but Sunday looking very nice.
Yeah, but it does tend to rain in spurts in Tampa, so it could be, you know, good today, bad tomorrow. But at the end of the day, it gets by, you know, pretty quick. I still go to the notion that if I'm Sean McVay, I do not want Matt Stafford to have to worry about pulling this ballgame out. I want to utilize the heavy offensive line. I want to utilize a controlled attack. I don't want him to get into a shootout with Tom Brady. Let's keep in mind that last game as well, where the Rams dominated. That was back-to-back road games for the Bucs at that particular time, I believe. They came off a very emotional game the week before. They went on the road. They got blitzed. It's going to be a different environment. Whatever Tampa Bay did in the first game, they're going to try and do different in the second. And that's why I do feel both offenses, their approach is to pound the rock and let's get into a lower scoring game, believing that we could pull it out in the fourth quarter, and let's see what happens.
Now, I was kind of spitting this out, Scott, as I was going to break, and me and you like stuff like this. The five playoff games, Bucks with Brady at the helm. 31, 30, 31, 31, and then 31 last week against the Eagles. That's pretty crazy.
That is pretty funny, right? I mean, and as I say, it's not like, you know, a 17 or a magical 3 or a 7, you know, that we do when we talk about point spreads. I mean, it's 31. I mean, four touchdowns and a field goal, I guess. But that is kind of weird, right? I mean, what are the chances of that happening? Did they know that? Is that why they cost us all the over this past week? Because goofy Bruce Arians wanted to say, hey, I want to score only 30. You know, I mean, but it is kind of strange how they can only score 31, or, you know, they score 31 points that often and then the 130 pointer. So,
very strange.
Yeah. Very does look strange good for that indeed. Over 25 and a half, though. I will say that, right? I mean, it does look like it's.
It does. I know that Joe, and Joe, you're not alone, I'm sure, out there thinking this is a fishy line. They scored 30, 31 in every single playoff game with Brady, and you're dropping 25 and a half on me. I don't disagree with you, Joe. It does. I mean, you can look at any number and try to find a reason to think that there's something wrong with it anywhere on the board. But we'll see where it goes, Joe, the next few days as we keep looking at it as we get closer to Sunday. Before we get at it, we'll touch the other game as well here. They don't have as many individual player props up yet for the Bills and the Chiefs, which is the late game in Kansas City, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We mentioned at the top, now down to -1.5. For the Chiefs. Since we're talking about team totals and what teams have scored, etc., the Bills, 26.5 is the team total, and the Chiefs, it's 27.5. So, of course, there you go. You have your 1 point difference in the spread. 54.5 is the total. Do you lean, Joe, now you were saying you think under in the first game. Are you leaning just full blown over here that there's going to be Allen and Mahomes basically lighting fireworks all over Arrowhead on Sunday night?
I do. That's the way I'm going, and like I said, I even look to Buffalo in terms of an alternate line in terms of this. I mean, we talked about potentially 10. Think of this. If it's a three-point game much of the way and you're back in Buffalo, I like that. They're giving you plus 340 at -9.5, Carver.
Wow.
I don't know how anybody can like Buffalo in a game. Or let me change it. I don't know how anyone can't like Kansas City in the game. Let's put it that way. I mean, Yeah, and that line did drop from 2.5 to down to 1.5, and I thought it would go the other way. You're telling me that many people are buying into the Buffalo Bills? You know, too many people, and here's a great stat, another Mark Lawrence special here, but I buy into this, and I've noticed this. Teams on the road coming off a 25-point wild card win, 0-7 against the spread their next game when facing a good team, which they are for the most part since they're playing in the divisional round, 750 or better. 0-7. Point is, so many people are drinking the Buffalo Bills Kool-Aid after right. their dominant performance, and I just don't think Buffalo was that good this year. They were much better last year. This is the same team that last 2 weeks of the regular season barely beat the Atlanta Falcons and barely beat the New York Jets, and now all of a sudden they're going to go into Kansas City and win because they beat the snot out of a Patriots team that just clearly didn't want to be there this past weekend for whatever reason.
Can I just jump in, Carl? Hang on.
Go ahead, Joe. Do whatever you want.
Because we talked about Pittsburgh and Kansas City in terms of what was going to change from the previous meeting when Kansas City destroyed Big Ben Roethlisberger, right? Destroyed them 36-10. And then they come back 2 weeks later, and everybody, including Scotty, I love Pittsburgh plus the 12.5, right? So what changed in that assessment? To tell me what's going to change in the fact that Josh Allen and Buffalo, Scott, boat raced, and I mean boat raced, Pat Mahomes, and they didn't have any answers for that rushing attack. Allen left, Allen right, Diggs over the top, Dawson Knox making plays, baby.
Joe, I'm a Bills fan, and I'm not taking too much credence into that game earlier this year.
I
loved it. Believe me, I was hooting and hollering on that Sunday night game in early October. But I can't put much stock into that. And I like the Mark Lawrence special there, Scotty. But there's another one that's been making the rounds that I think is causing some people to jump on the Bills here as well. The Bills are the eighth team with 12-plus wins, all by 12-plus points in a single season since the merger. The other seven teams all won the Super Bowl. Now, look, the Bills the Bills should not be put in the same breath as, at least I don't think yet, they got to win it to be mentioned, with the 99 Rams, the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, the 98 Broncos, the 96 Packers, and the 91 Washington Redskins. The Bills have achieved what all those other teams have, 12 or more wins, all by 12-plus points in a single season.
So they've covered the spread in every game this year. Well, the Falcon one they didn't. The Falcon,
they've had a couple big spreads they didn't cover. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's impressive. I didn't realize that. That's a pretty good number. You know, if you like the goofy stats like we all do, I do like that, I must say. But, you know, Kansas City, that was back in October, Joe. They muffed a punt that they gave Buffalo like a short field, like a 10-yard touchdown drive. Or not, I think it was inside the 5-yard line, to tell you the truth. You know, that stuff doesn't generally happen two games in a row. And Buffalo was playing their best ball. I mean, you can make the case that was, the best ball the Bills played all season. They won four in a row. Albeit against Miami, Washington, and Houston, but they did win against Kansas City. But then he got slapped around by Tennessee the following week. So I just see this team has been inconsistent all year long. The offense hasn't been as dynamic to me all year long. They got some weird performances, whether it's the Colts or whether it's the Patriots the first game. And whether it is the Jets. I mean, they won that one 27-10, but that game was a one-score game in the fourth quarter against the Jets playing for absolutely nothing when they sacked, Boy Wonder there 12,000 times, whatever it was, 9 times. I mean, I just don't expect back-to-back great performance. Everything went too good. Whether it's basketball, football, hockey, whatever it is, I love betting against teams that won so easily. And betting on teams that lost, by the way, so poorly, but that's not in the play here. But playing teams that did win that easily, I go against them.
I get it, and listen, I'm very cautious on this, and I think that's why for this game there's probably a little too much emotion involved for me personally. When you've been waiting your whole life for your team to actually win something, there is a little bit of emotion involved. But you're right about the inconsistency, and let's be fair. I mean, I personally think they've played their best football since the Tampa game. They haven't lost since the second half where they came back and tied them, got it to overtime. Yes, the Jet game was very spotty. The Atlanta game was spotty. But I do feel like they've changed since that second half against the Bucs. in early December down there in Tampa. But there are some inconsistencies with this team, and it all goes back to that Jacksonville game. They lost 9-6, and that just bothers the hell out of you. Because if they won that game, this game would be in Buffalo on Sunday. This game would be in Buffalo on Sunday if they won that game. And that bothers the hell out of me right now. It just does.
All right, well, don't get hot. Don't get hot here.
You're the one getting hot, Joe. You're fired up already. Hot. You think there's going to be 90 points in this game.
I do. I feel it's going to be in the high 60s. Don't be shocked if this is a game that goes back and forth for much of the way between Allen and Mahomes. I will say this for Buffalo. I think in order to pull this ball game out, whether it be by 2 points, 1 point, or even 10, like I think they can do, they need Stephon Diggs to break out in a big way. And I think he's going to have a cheap number heading into this matchup. It's been Dawson Knox. It's been other playmakers like Gabriel Davis. But in this particular spot, going up against Pat Mahomes, I think they unleash the beast in Stephon Diggs. And I think he goes well over 100 yards in this ballgame. I think they find multiple ways to game plan for him on one-on-one opportunities. And as good as Kansas City's defense has been in terms of the pass game, some of the teams that they played down the stretch really haven't challenged them over the top. And granted, I think that when you have that one-on-one opportunity, the way we talk about Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs can create mismatch problems for Sorensen and those safeties. It could be a long day for Kansas City. And then Josh Allen on the ground. I'm telling you, I think I love the over here, but I like Buffalo in a big way because in these games, it comes down to matchups. It comes down to utilizing your playmakers in a legitimate way, and I just buy in more to Buffalo than I do Kansas City. And again, we've seen Kansas City in the middle part of the year limp through the motions in terms of an offensive perspective. It was the defense that carried them.
Yeah, but they picked things up. Yeah. What are they, 9 of 10, you know, down the stretch? And I will tell you, Kansas City 7-3 against playoff teams, Buffalo only 3-4. So they've had the tougher schedule, they played more playoff teams, and they have the better record.
And also, you factor this in a little because it's really the same team. I mean, they've been there the last 3 years now. I mean, they've been to 2 Super Bowls. It matters when you get to this point and you're facing a team that hasn't gotten there yet, whether it's close and late, situations like that. The team that has been in these spots before, you like to lean to them. And Joe, I you're right about the Kansas City defense. They weren't right when they played the Bills the first time. I mean, Sorensen got embarrassed in that game. The Bills cut him to pieces. But that was when the Chief defense was their problem. And then the Chief defense has picked it up since then. I'll give you this one.
I agree.
I'll give you this one, Joe. So they have team touchdowns, total team touchdowns. Now, the Bills, they have a 2.5. But the over is to minus 200. So maybe that'll change by Sunday. But the Chiefs, they have at 3.5. Over to plus 120. So if you think you're going to get a big scoring game, Joe, you also get that over on the Chiefs total touchdowns.
I like that. I like that. I think both teams are going to eat. In the end, I think Buffalo's going to have theirs, though. I still don't know. And when you talk about the playoff teams and you just rattle them off, they beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. They beat Las Vegas, Dallas, with both CeeDee Lamb and Zeke getting hurt. Vic Fangio, who sucks. The Raiders again, Justin Herbert and Staley, Rottenberger, Joe Burrow was the game, and they lost that game. They didn't have an answer for Chase in the second half, did they?
They did not. That was, if there's one moment you want to look at, that second half against Cincinnati.
Did you mention Green Bay? Did you mention the fact
they beat
that
them without Rodgers?
Did you mention the fact that all these teams you rattle off that say suck all made the postseason?
In terms of, let's be honest though,
or
I mean,
should've?
Are we talking McDermott versus an interim staff at Las Vegas, Vic Fangio, Tomlin?
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Ben Rottenberger?
They've won 10 of 11.
Rottenberger.
You barely beat the Jets.
Pro football full circle. We wrap it up after this, Sirius XM 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro football full circle. Carver, Wetzel, and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159, talking about the divisional games all week as the road to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles continues here this weekend. Everybody gets ready to go out to L.A. for the big game. I like that it's a week later, too, this year. I think it's great that they finally bumped it up. You had the extra week with the 17th game, and now they move that right into – that's got to be, what, President's Day Monday, right? The day after the Super Bowl? That's got to be President's Day Monday right there, isn't it,
boys?
We're
going to be playing in March before we know it here. How come – you know, why is it that in the NFL, by the way, guys, how come we can have all these blowouts in the NFL and no one's calling for less playoff teams? We get blowouts in the semifinals in college football, and everyone's crying, see, we don't need more than four teams. We don't even need the four. I don't hear anyone crying about all these blowouts in the NFL, though. You know, do I hear any stories this week about how we should have less playoff teams? I don't think so.
No. And next year, we'll still be talking about the same teams, Buffalo, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, right? Same teams.
Yeah, same teams. That's true. And I did look. President's Day is actually the 21st, so it's a week later. So instead, you get another holiday. And Joe, this is one of his favorites on the calendar. The day after the Super Bowl, you get Valentine's Day, Joe. So you get Super Bowl into Valentine's Day right on Monday. Right. So make sure that you download your apps beforehand, Joe, before the Super Bowl. Get the apps going.
App game is struggling right now, Carver. You know that, okay?
Hey, Joe, Hey, I know you're going to do a triple up for the Super Bowl and the day after, too, right, with everyone else taking off. Are you going to your wall-to-wall coverage here?
Right, yes, I'll be at wall-to-wall. USFL coverage
starting
soon, guys.
Pre-game, during the game, post-game, yes. Good.
Oh, Joe. Don't worry, Joe. I'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll continue to get ready for this weekend's games. Hopefully some more props up on the board as well. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel. Tremendous job by Andrew Torres. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We'll see you tomorrow.